Brother Bumbrecht called me and asked me to speak on a lectureship. I was honored until he told me what my topic was going to be. I agonized over that topic for months and months and months till the manuscript was months and months late, and I was still agonizing over it, and I had to face facts. Why am I agonizing over this so much? And then it came to me. Because what I study and what I learn, I'm going to have to implement them in my own life and communicate with my wife and my family. I don't like change. But I knew there would have to be change. I wrote this not trying to give this message to preachers. As Brother Rick asked me to, help others who might not be members of the Lord's church or others who are struggling to have a better idea of how they can have this communication and unity within the home. So that's hopefully what I was able to come up with, and hopefully it will help you as in fact it's helped me. And I want to say this, as much as I agonized over this topic, I wonder how Patrick Hammack felt when he's going to speak of young women honoring motherhood. I guess we'll see the feminine side of Patrick Hammond. Day. As we read and study in God's Word, we understand very well that there is a design for the family. Brother Nash spoke this morning regarding some type of design. Brother DeLong did exactly the same thing, another aspect of it. There is a design for the family. And in God's infinite wisdom, He has seen fit to give us a blueprint of how He would have the family to be. And it is my humble opinion that the chaos that reigns in the American family today, and by that chaos I mean fatherless children, spousal abuse, both physical and emotional, infidelity, incest, child abuse, welfare and food stamp recipients, deceit, dishonesty, and such like is a direct cause, that is, I should say, it is a direct result of man ignoring God's design for the family. Amen. That's it. You can't go nowhere else. That's what has to take place. Recently, I have been involved with two benevolent cases at our congregation. Two women who are with children and without husbands. And I've been able to spend time with them for the last several months. And I've noticed their struggles, their poverty, their desire to better themselves. And both of these young girls have been raised in a situation where poverty was prominent, where they were dependent on the government to subsidize their living. And that cycle has never been broken. From their mother and their mother's mother and their brothers and their sisters are living in this cycle. Brother Rick called this a dysfunctional family last night, or yesterday morning. That's what it is. If God's idea for the family, His blueprint, is not brought to the family, if it doesn't exist, if order and morals do not exist within the family literally is dysfunctional. And something must be done. It's interesting, this order that's needful in the family, it is recognizable, and it is achievable. Case in point, I know a young man, and I'm not going to mention his name because some of you here might know him. He is a faithful, devoted servant of God. He and his wife serve a congregation where they attend. He has an excellent job. He has a wonderful home. He takes care of his children. He loves them very much. You can see he's an excellent father. That's the way it is in his home. But when he grew up, there was no order in his life. Absolutely none. As a matter of fact, his father and mother were a member of a motorcycle gang. A very well-known motorcycle gang in the state of Texas. He said his first concert he went to at the age of 6 was Peter Frampton. Peter Frampton, and he went on the back of a Harley. There was no order in his life. It was just pure chaos. He was able at an early age to recognize order in his grandmother's house. Both grandpa and grandma had order. He wanted that order, and he has it today. And I might want to mention to you, his grandparents were members of the Lord's church. Order. You can see it, and it can be achieved if one is willing to give time and or effort. Too often, both husband and wife are not sure how to secure this order. And it might be the case that no one has ever told them how to achieve this order. That's what we want to do today. Communication is the key. We need to be able to communicate between husband and wife. If that is the case, there will be order, there will be unity, as long as the communication is dealing with the subject that we want our home to be based upon God, His teaching, and His principles. Then order will indeed exist, and one can stay away from chaos. The psalmist penned these words, and you're going to hear these words time and time again in the Psalm 127, about verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain that built it. Order coming from God's word. When the word of God is the standard for the home, mutual respect will be practiced in the home. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, you see the divine order of things for the family. If you turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, about verse 22 beginning, you can see that the apostle Paul there teaches the duties of husbands and wives. He teaches of respect and honor, submissiveness that is to be enjoyed within the bounds of matrimony. That brings order. There is to be communication within the family. Communication. We won't want to define this because it's very important to define what communication is. It's a verbal or written statement. An exchange of information or a technique for expressing ideas effectively, as in speech. Communication between a husband and a wife is paramount to having a successful and harmonious marriage. Likewise, communication between children and parents is imperative for there to be harmony in the home life. From the beginning of time, God has communicated with mankind. Continue to do so until you get to about Genesis chapter 11, when he confounded the communication process. Have you ever stopped to think how awful it might be if you could not communicate with anyone? Did you ever think about that? What would it be like for your children to try to communicate with you and they couldn't tell you they're sick or they're hurt or injured? How would that make you feel that you could not even communicate with your wife and tell them how you feel, or your spouse? Communication between husband and wife is so necessary, and if it is amiss, problems will multiply and chaos will abound, I promise. Did you ever wonder if there was communication between Adam and Eve? Did you ever wonder what they discussed? They ever sit down and chat about maintaining their favor with God? You think they ever did that? If you have time, you might want to look at 1 Timothy 2 and 14. Was Adam tempted first by the serpent and unwilling to communicate that to his wife? Did they discuss the wiles of the serpent? Did they? I don't know. Was there communication there? If you look at the patriarch Job and his wife, I wonder if they sat down and communicated one to another the spiritual. Were their spiritual goals the same? Were they both individuals who were perfect, upright, fearful of God? Were they both eschewers of evil? Makes you wonder, when the calamity came to the family, and you look in Job chapter 2 and verse 9, dost thou still retain thy integrity, curse God and die? Are those words filled with compassion? Are those words filled with love and concern? Were they communicating on their goals? Probably the most cruel couple in the Bible, Jezebel and Ahab, it looks like they communicated. They knew what they wanted. Greed, corruption, they knew what they wanted. They didn't have a problem getting what they wanted. Look in Acts chapter 5, and by reading the text, by implication, we see that Ananias and Sapphira had communicated what they wanted to do. But understand that communication isn't always a good thing. Can you think of one place in the Bible where giving too much information was a problem? Can you say Samson and Delilah? Too much communication there was a problem. When we read these Bible characters and of these accounts, we wonder, was there really communication taking place? When husband and wife are able to successfully communicate, unity will exist. And we want to define unity. It is defined as oneness, a state of not being multiple, a condition of harmony, accord, or continuity without deviation or change as in purpose or action. And if you look in John chapter 17, what was the Lord's desire? He wanted unity. All God's children to be unified together, common ground, His divine word. And if a husband and wife are both members of the Lord's church, is it so far-fetched to comprehend the idea of there being unity in the house? I don't think so. Unity matters, and it comes through us being able to communicate one with another. Oneness is predicated upon God's word for us, adhering to the objective standard. Successful communication between husband and wife is possible, and it can be a reality. How many husbands say, no way, that can never happen? How many wives are going, yeah, better? Because whether or not we want to admit it or not, we're going to say, well, she doesn't communicate with me, and he never communicates with me. It can happen, and it must, for there to be unity and for there to be the family following God's design. When open lines of communication are not found between husband and wife, there will be anger, hurt feelings, and there will and can be arguments. Husbands, grunts, groans, and uh-huhs do not really constitute communications. Uh-huh. That's sometimes the last word my wife hears at night. Uh-huh. Wives, silence, or loud sighs are not really communications. They are, but they're not, if you know what I mean. There's not a wife in here that's had a loud sigh. My mother always said, I'm not sighing, I'm just taking a deep breath. A deep breath. Then we hear words like, we never talk anymore. Or we hear, you don't listen to half the things I tell you. Sometimes we call it selective hearing. We do, don't we? Communication. Husband and wife, open lines of communication. Jesus spoke of husband and wife coming together as one flesh in Matthew chapter 19. One flesh in mind, in purpose, in goal. We don't want to take that out of context. But we can see the gist here and implications and the teachings given. When it comes to the decisions of the family, we must be united. Communication takes place verbally and non-verbally. It can take place through sign language or body language. Psychiatrists have counted, I don't know who counted this, they claim that there are at least 10,000 non-verbal symbols which people use to communicate what they're feeling. I would have wagered, and you're not supposed to, I would have thought there are about 20,000. Now, I want you to do me a favor. I need some participation. Every married man in the audience right now, I want you to raise your hand. Every one of us, raise your hand. Now, this is one of these words, one of these nonverbal symbols. You're like, well, who would do that? Now, keep your hands up. What do you think would happen when you come home from work and your wife is telling you something very important about her day and you do this? What type of communication did you just make? Hands down. Now, don't look at your wives. She's giving you some important information, and all you did was go, oh, please. Rolled your eyes, shrugged your shoulders. What have you done? You've communicated all right. The wrong type of message. Her day wasn't important. Your day was more important. You don't care about those trivial things that happened at the house. Our communication. The wife of a famous psychiatrist once pointed out that although a woman should express her innermost thoughts and desires verbally to her husband, she can say an awful lot by fixing his favorite supper or sewing buttons on his shirt. In order to have profitable communication, we must be able to converse with one another. And I've taken some information from some sources that might help us. This is not my thoughts. I took it from them. And I hope that you will have a lectureship book that you can go and look these books up. It might help us in this situation. I know it helped me. So I want to discuss this for just a moment. There was a book written several years ago, and some of you might have this, by Breakin and Faulkner. Title was, Whatever the family needs, what happened to mom, dad, and the kids? Some of you might know of that book. It's several years old. But there were some interesting ideas that were in that particular book. And simply put, if we were to communicate with each other and have conversations, we need to know each other a little better. And I want us to give us a test right now to understand this. And you can do this now. And as much as I hate those little survey questions and tests that come out in these magazines your wife wants you to do, honey, let's do this little survey. No, I don't want to do this. We're doing one now. How well do we know each other as a family? Husbands, how well do you know your wives? Wives, how well do your husbands? Parents, how well do you know your children? Children, how well do you know your moms and dads? Simple questions. Ask each other these questions. What's your favorite color? Favorite cologne and your favorite perfume. Guys, do you know what your wife's favorite color is? And what, I use the term odor and it gets me in trouble. Fragrance your wife loves. Do you know what it is? My response to my wife, it smells like soapy water. Does this smell good? Soapy water. You smell 30, they smell the same. Do you know the name of it? Do you know her favorite color, her favorite flower? Do you know her favorite author, her favorite book, her favorite movie, movie star? Do you know these things? Or do you not care? What's the favorite restaurant? What's your favorite food, your favorite dessert? What's your favorite sweet? Ask my children, they'll tell you my favorite candy. They know. I eat it too much. Do we know each other well enough to communicate the way we are to communicate? What's your favorite kind of weather? Dave, what's your favorite weather? Cloudy, sunny, cold? What is it? Do you know, Ann? Or do you care? Communication. Need to be loving. Need to be transparent. Need to be trustworthy. We need to be positive. These are what these individuals brought together to help us have communication and conversation in our family. Be positive. He writes, a marriage that is 85% positive and only 15% negative will appear 90% bad if the couple spends 90% of its time arguing over the 15% problem areas. You think about that. Communication. So be sensitive. Men, be sensitive. My wife is my barometer. I'm just this way. Cold, calloused, unloving, unkind. That's just the way it is. And then the barometer starts working. Oh, what? And she just tells me, well, you need to be this, maybe that. And I say, I don't like the communication we're having now. Because then I have to admit that I'm wrong and she's right. I hate when that happens. Thank you. I'm done here, aren't I?
We need to be sensitive. Because guys basically speak from the head more than the heart, and with women it's the other way around. The head level usually deals with things, concepts, ideas, philosophy, judgments, or facts. The heart level deals with emotions, joy, and love, that lump in the throat, tears, fears, hurts, the emptiness of the heart. That's what it is. We need to be able to communicate. Understand this. I understand what I'm telling you this morning, but you might not understand what I'm telling the way I think you are. We need to communicate better. Case in point. Where's Jackson? Jackson, where are you? There, Jackson. Now, if I was to walk up to Jackson and say, "Oh, baby, that's okay." But if I'm at the mall and my wife's with me and some girl walks by and go, "Oh, baby," that's different. How do you communicate? Because words change sometimes. If you go to a dealership and say, "I want a fast car," they know what you mean. But young men, if you go to your father and say, "I want some fast women," that doesn't work. It doesn't. We need to be careful the words we use when we communicate. Although we know what we're trying to say with those words, the one we're talking to might not understand how we mean that word. Communication. Know what I mean? I think we've all done it before. "I said that, but you didn't. That's not what I meant." That's how it came across. Need to be careful. It's easy for the spouse to interpret what is said differently than what was supposed to be intended. Try to explain yourself out of that one. We've all been there. Be an active listener. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 9. "And I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them." God is an active listener. How active are we? Pharisees and the Sadducees said a bunch of things to Jesus the Christ, and he was an active listener. He listened to all their whining. He listened to their silly doctrines. He listened to their dogmas. And then he told them how the cow ate the cabbage. But he listened. We need to be able to be active listeners. Unfortunately, the Pharisees and Sadducees were not active listeners themselves because they rejected the Messiah. Be concise. Ladies, Esther, are you here? Pay attention, young people who are thinking about being married. Be concise. Do not beat around the bush. Do not try to give obvious hints. Men, do not take hints. I want you to absorb that now. "Where would you like to eat?" "Well, maybe the rockfish would be good." "No, really, where do you want to eat?" "Well, I think the rockfish might be a good place to go." "Where do you want to eat?" Is that a hint? And no matter how obvious the hint is, be specific, please. Because men do not get hints. Wives, you know that, don't you? There's not a single head shaking in here. You know it. We don't take hints. Be prayerful. Be decisive. Make time for conversation and for communication with the spouse. Husbands and wives, there needs to be open lines of communication regarding children. Brother Barry, where are you? Are you in here? Brother Barry, raise your hand. Brother Barry, okay. Before or when you're about to be married, young people, you better discuss whether or not you're going to have children. And I know that sounds so silly. Of course you're going to have children. Everybody wants to have children. Not always. When I was living in Las Vegas, I knew a couple, a good couple. One worked for one of the casinos in town. One worked for a pharmaceutical company. Good looking couple. I mean, they were up and, I mean, just good looking people. He did not want to have children. She did. They were married in 1992 and they were divorced in 1996.
You know why? Children. He didn't want children. She did. She thought she could talk him into it. She didn't. You better know if you're going to have children or not, because it is a huge responsibility. I wonder how much communication took place between that couple. There needs to be communication about what a child requires, because a child is not going to be able to tell you what they need. They're not. So husbands and wives need to get together and discuss this. It's so very, very important. What I want to say is this. There's things that children need. And husbands and wives and our parents need to discuss this before you have your children. I remember when our first child was born, she must have been not even 3 weeks old. And my wife, Deanna, bless her heart, she was planning for the future so much. She said, "Man, when she gets there, we're going to go here and do this." I went, "Oh, she's not even 2 weeks old." But she was planning for her wedding. She already knew what she wanted. I said, "Can she turn 2 first?" But she was planning. She knew what she wanted. There needs to be order in the home, and that family needs to get together and discuss that. Within the family, when there's order, there's a sense of security. Just like that favorite pillow or that favorite blanket brings a calmness to that child, when there is order in the home, there is serenity. There is that calming effect. And children need to know that mother and father love each other. They need to see affection. I can't count the times that my children have seen Deanna and myself hug and scream, "Group hug!" and come running to the house. They're part of it. They need to see it. They need to see it. Children need an example from their parents. Now, I'm not going to have time to go through all the things, but I hope you'll have the book. And I'm sure that you can come up with a list that will just dwarf the one I've come up with, because you have experience more than I do. But please understand, there are things that children need. They need an example from their parents. And sometimes these little sponges running around the house that are children, they absorb things you can't even begin to imagine. Case in point. It's sad when members of the church are sitting at home watching TV, relaxing after a day of labor, and the phone rings. And, "Dad, it's for you. Tell them I'm not home." "Well, you're sitting here in the den. Just tell them I'm not home." Now, is that lying? What does that tell your children? Think about it. Poor example. And it's very sad when members of the church do so. When children have order and stability, they must also have discipline. They need to recognize the rules and recognize what will take place when they break the rules. Children need instruction. They need instruction, because if you don't teach them, their friends will, public schools will, internet will, experimentation will teach them things that parents need to teach. They need to be encouraged. Children become easily discouraged. They try to ride that bicycle for the first time or get on rollerblades for the first time. They're going to become discouraged and want to quit. If they quit that early age, what will they quit later on in life? Encourage them. They need to be loved by their parents. They need to have time with their parents. Children need to be heard. Parents, how many times have you heard knock-knock jokes? I can't count the number of knock-knock jokes I've heard. Keep listening to them. Give them time. Give them the time they so desperately need. Husbands and wives, there's to be open lines of communication regarding income. Now, I'm going to do this. You don't have to take this or not. There's a book by Dave Ramsey, The Total Money Makeover. If you're in a situation, I'll recommend this book to you. If you're in an income situation, if you're thinking about being married, if you're engaged to be married, or if you are married and your bills are killing you, you need to get this book. It's an excellent book. It was given to me by a dear member of the Lord's church. I read it and I implemented what he had to say into our family. And it's helped us tremendously. And I hope you can get this book. It's the Total Money Makeover. I have it afterwards. Excellent book. This individual speaks of some wise things that come together with how one is to get out of debt. Shocking stats. 90% of people in our culture buy things they cannot afford. 80% of graduating college seniors have credit card debt before they have a job. 60% of people do not pay off their credit card bill every month. And 78% of Americans said they would borrow on a credit card if a rainy day came. It is estimated every family has at least $15,000 worth of credit card debt in America. Barely making the minimum payment. You'll be paying those till you're 85 years old. This can help you. It really can. And I suggest you look into this book here. Better decide if you're going to have a one-family income or a two-family income. You better decide. Get your priorities together. Is this something y'all, husband and wife, are to communicate upon? Converse with a dialogue, not a Husbands and wives, the attitude and components of proper communication. There was a woman that was sitting at the table with her husband. And she said, "Sweetheart, I read the most interesting article today. I read this article and I learned that women use over 10,000 words a day. And men only use 5,000 words a day." And the husband said, "What'd you say, sweetheart?" Communication, listening, paying attention. I'm going to say something right now that's very shocking, and I hope Brother Brumbeck will forgive me. It's probably going to ruin your whole day. The moon will not shine tonight because of what I'm going to say. Women and men are different. There's a difference in the genders, and if that's shocking to you, I'm sorry. But it seems that people are just now coming up with that idea that men and women are different, and we communicate a little differently than others. Men sometimes like the economy of words approach. Women like to give detail. Deanna will be talking to me. I'll say, "Reader's Digest version, please." I'll get the account of the whole day. "What happened to Megan's leg?" I want the part before it happened and the part just after. But I get all of it. She's bringing me up to speed. That's what she's doing. We communicate differently. And that goes back and forth depending on husband and wife, which one does. I know other women like detail, some do not. But for the majority, it's there. Reader's Digest version. "We never talk anymore. You talk too much." Communication between the husband and wife, it takes patience. It takes practice. And it takes patience. And practice. And patience. And practice. Over and over. Communication between husband and wife. There's supposed to be a dialogue. We want to define dialogue. Conversation between two or more persons. A dialogue must take place between husband and wife. According to Dr. Susan Heitler, PhD, she said there is collaborative dialogue and there is combative dialogue. Remember those two words today. Combative, collaborative. See which one you are. We're going to do this. Two words. They're C words. I know it's kind of hard. Collaborative, combative. Collaborative dialogue enables couples to pool information. It allows them to enjoy spending time together, convey information easily with one another, function as teammates in working toward shared goals such as earning a living, creating a lovely home,
raising happy children, and contributing to the community. This dialogue is imperative to proper communication between husbands and wives. However, there is a combative dialogue, and I want to read this to you so you understand the difference. The goal of combative dialogue is to prove who is right and who is wrong, to win by inflicting the most damage or getting the other to give up. The format for this dialogue is debate and hurtful comments. The tone of this type of dialogue is adamant, attempting to persuade, and can become irritable and angry. The purpose of listening with this type of dialogue is to defend against incoming information. The toxicity of this dialogue is toxic comments. They are seen as legitimate. The attitude toward differences in this dialogue is the difference. They are decisive, leading to argument.
Are you combative or are you collaborative? Which one are you? I knew which one I was. I apologize for it.
Dr. Heitler says some other things. Let me ask you this. Between the communication of husband and wife, I want you to think of one verse, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Y'all can turn to it, look at it, and just think about that verse, please, when we communicate one with another. The following are the basic principles and or secrets that are mentioned in this book by Dr. Heitler. She says, if you're conversing with your spouse, really say it. Here's another one. It says, don't hint. If you're going to say something, say it. Do not try to hint. That is called indirect communication. Hinting. Be direct. Beware of wishing and wondering. Wishing your mate could read your mind. That might not be a good thing. Matter of fact, I know it would not be a good thing. Communication. Beware of the phrase or starting off your sentence, you know, I think. She goes into detail why that is such a bad thing to do. Say what you mean, not what you want. Communication skills. Make requests, not complaints. Communication. The way to achieve order in our homes, the way to achieve unity in our homes, is to be able to communicate spouse to spouse, children to parent. If we're not willing to communicate, we will not have order, we will not have unity. The structure, stability, and soundness of the home, the serenity, will not take place unless the home has open lines of communication. I hope all of us, well, I know we all can improve on our communication skills. And I hope that what we've researched this morning and what we've studied will help us all to be better communicators with our family, with our spouses, with our children, with one another. Because certainly we want to be doing what God would have us to do, communicating. And may God help us and bless us as we further our endeavor in the art of proper communication. I thank you very much for your time this morning.